Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents.
Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest.
Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about 90 Day Fiancé Before the 90 Day, Season 6, Episode 3. Should be a good time. I am, of course, your host and conductor of the Hot Mess Express, Quizan Vakili, here to tell you breaking news. There will be another season of 90 Day running simultaneously alongside this 90 Day, and that is 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way. Yes, The Other Way that ended 3 weeks ago is coming back July 11th, I think. So a month from now. What are we doing here? I don't know. But one thing I can guarantee you, despite TLC not knowing what they're doing, I will be podcasting about both shows on separate pods weekly. So wish me luck. But that's not the point here. We can talk about that when the time comes next month. For now, we're here to talk about this episode. Obviously, I've got a lovely guest with me today. She is not a stranger on the 90 Day Podcast. She is not a stranger to me. She is not a stranger to you. It is, of course, my co-host on the Masked Singer Wrap Up Podcast, the lovely Liana Boris, who also co-hosts the BMB, who also co-hosts the Drag Race Pod. Liana, how you doing?
Ah, me. I'm doing well. I'm super excited to talk about this episode. I was a little nervous. I think that you and Sasha and you and Mari had, you know, sort of tackled a lot of the uncomfortableness, at least in terms of the trauma of this season, that there feels like there's a lot of people that, you know, should not be on television. I feel like this episode, we really started to tap into just like the absolutely ridiculous. And I can't wait to talk about it all.
Yeah, it like we said in the first episode, it was kind of like let's brace for impact because it's going to be a rough ride. But now I feel like, as we predicted, it's getting a little bit more loosey. It's getting a little bit more silly. And that's because we're no longer reliving that every episode. We're focusing on, because obviously stuff's happening while they're together. So that's where we're getting stuff.
Right. Exactly. I feel like Gino and Jasmine were in rare form this episode as well. So I think that really is, that's the headline for this episode. And boy, howdy, do we get some good quotes.
Yeah. Word on the street is our very own Rob Cesternino has said he wants to be the Gino and Jasmine correspondent. To Rob Cesternino, I say, you better get on the Hot Mess Express before it's too late, because you're missing on all some good stuff here.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to submit for an Emmy reel, I think this is the episode you send.
This is the best they've done, at least for what we need from them.
Right.
All right. Well, Liana, let's tuck right into what we've got over here, because we've got quite a bit to go through. And let's just open up with Gino and Jasmine. We've been doing Gino and Jasmine these last couple episodes to kind of end on a lighter note. We're flipping it and reversing it this week because I do think that is needed. This is obviously now the first time Gino and Jasmine are together in a long time. He's finally arrived in Panama. They're on their way back to her apartment and she's, you know, they're looking at the site. She goes, look at this. He's like, oh, look at that. That looks good. Look at all the scenery. And she's like, yeah, look at these two mountains over here. And I was like, oh, your chest. Yes. The mountains. Yes. Oh hills and valleys.
So uncomfortable. Like he wants nothing to do with her. I'm not going to claim that I'm an expert in reading body language, but between Gino and I guess Amanda to a certain extent, it just feels like when people are with their partners, they do not want to be with their partners. Like even Gino, he looks like he's afraid of Jasmine. He's like scared of her. He doesn't even want to look at her. Like even when she does the thing with her mountains, he just kind of is like, yeah. And like looks back out the window. Oh, it's uncomfortable.
I think you and I talked about this offline and I feel like it bears bringing up here where we said, okay, maybe Gino's into it, right? Gino's into a more dominant partner who is kind of commanding, but and I do think that's the case, but I think that's exclusively for in the bedroom. I don't think he likes that outside of the bedroom, and Jasmine is like that always. So when she does that and then wants to go bedroom, he's like, oh, I can't do this, I'm numb, I can't move or whatever. So I do think it's strange because it's like, oh, I like this, do this, and then now she's doing this and he's like, oh, I hate this. So
I need to go back and see in their very first season, like, did he ever look like attracted to her? Because the end of their last season and then also this season, I have not seen him once be sexually interested or interested honestly at all in her, in talking to her, in being with her, in being around her. I just feel like that could be true. And so, you know, their conversations outside are not like piquing his sexual interest, but I just feel like, was he ever interested in her? I mean, I guess he was when he was like his little giggly self or whatever, but oh God, I don't know. I just don't think I just don't think he's into her at all.
Do you think this is one of those things where being on the show and getting the feedback that they got and having your whole life on display, do you think that may have slowed him down a little? Where like, now he's super conscious of the cameras and he's super insecure.
Oh, yeah, I suppose so. Like based on the conversation that he was having with the producer, like to the camera and the talking head, he was like, well, there's more important things I need to talk to her about. So, and like the one thing he kind of kept talking about was, oh, you know, I'm nervous that, you know, Michigan isn't going to satisfy her taste and she's getting these like very expensive apartments and like, you know, we don't know exactly what else he's doing in terms of sending money. Because when they met, like he was unemployed, right? And he was still like sending her money and now he has a job. So he has to send her more money. And I kind of feel like that whole situation of him supporting her, like that's just, I think that's just like rubbing him the wrong way. But he's like too much of a weirdo to say anything about it.
Yeah, I don't think it's helped. I don't think that aspect has helped. And obviously, so they're on this drive to her place. And this, if you would remember, this is the place where they have spent $3,000 a month for, and they are spending it for, quote, these next 3 weeks because it's her last 3 weeks. And he said that the visa is coming soon. Therefore, since you said the visa is coming soon, you should get me a nice place to end my time in Panama. So they're getting there and she's like, it's worth every penny. Trust me. So they get there and she's showing him around the house. She's showing him the balcony. The balcony has this like little artificial island that you can see on the distance that only the rich people live in. And those are my neighbors now. And immediately you can tell Gino's like, this is a nice place, but I don't think it's worth the $3,000 a month type place.
Mm-hmm. Or like maybe that it, well, I don't know. To me, I was like, that is a very nice place for $3,000. Like the gorgeous view, like that is absolutely stunning.
I agree. I think, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think for him, it's not that like, oh, it's not worth $3,000. It's just like, do you really need this? I think was the vibe.
Well, yeah. I mean, to me, it's like the polar opposite of what I'd be doing if I was leaving in 3 weeks, right? If I'm leaving in 3 weeks to move, I'm not getting the best apartment I've ever stayed in before I leave, right?
And you don't want to have like a last hurrah? Because I think that's kind of how she's viewing it.
You know damn well I wanted a last hurrah. And we
not in apartments.
No, not in apartments. More of a time rather than place thing. I feel like that's what she wants. That's how she touted it as. But also, I feel like, you know how we talk about right now, we look back and we're like, we could never live in the apartment we lived in before we moved into this one.
Yeah.
It's because we experienced this one. And I feel like once you experience a $3,000 apartment with breathtaking views, are you going to be cool with something less? And we've seen Gino's place something a lot less.
Yeah, well, that I mean, that's what he's saying even in this episode, right? He's like, oh, I'm nervous that Michigan isn't going to satisfy her taste. And then they have a very fun montage of things in Gino's house, which I did pause to write down a few items that I found in Gino's house.
Any standouts?
There was a Mickey Mouse ceramic figure, a Thomas Kincaid style painting, tissues, which I noted, not by the bed, though, just like on a shelf. So I don't know.
He lives alone. Like, he goes anywhere.
Boxed wine, specifically Franzia, even though they tried to blur it out. I was like, everybody knows that logo. And then also piles and piles of clothes on a bunk bed, which also included a significant number of hats. So I felt like that was worth noting.
Huh. Okay. Well, we appreciate that.
He needs hats for all occasions, Puya.
Apparently. And I cannot wait to get into it because, oh my God. Yeah. So he immediately sees the scenery and he starts saying, I don't know if this is worth 3,000. And obviously Jasmine's response is, oh, 100% it's worth 3,000. Are you kidding? Like, this is incredible. And then he tells us that he, before he met Jasmine, he feels like she wasn't as into the luxurious things. And he feels like now that they've been together, she's more big into them than before. And he's worried about his place in Michigan and how she'll feel going there, which obviously we just discussed makes a lot of sense why he would be worried about that. But then Jasmine says, go try the bed. Let's feel the bed and see how you like it. And he's like, nah, she's like, try the bed. And I was like, all right, I know what you're doing here. You're kind of sheepdogging him to the bed. Like, all right, don't move this way to the bed. Which isn't gonna go well, Liana.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel really uncomfortable. Like, he doesn't want to have sex with you. Like, I mean, first of all, he should be like more explicit in saying that instead of like just, you know, I don't know, doing Gino things.
He's terrified, but like, too. But Gino things are childish things. Can we just say that?
Yeah. I mean, they're both horrible. But yeah, I think like very obviously she would like to have sex with him. Very obviously he does not want to have sex with her. And she's like awkwardly pressuring him into it. Although I will say, like, yeah, it's uncomfortable. At least she eventually lets it go when he's like a baby and just rolls over onto his tummy and is like, meh, I'm going to nap.
That's what it was. That's what he was doing. It was so weird.
Yeah. Because and he just like he didn't even want to look at her. Oh, it was so uncomfortable.
Oh, you and me both. It was not a pretty sight. So she gets him to the bed. And then, first of all, he laid in this bed with his dirty shoes on.
Listen,
I don't judge anybody, right? Everyone's entitled to do things the way they do things. Of course. Dirty shoes should not be in the bedroom. That's just my two cents. That's one of mine. I don't really have a lot. I'm a very laid back, easy going guy, but that's one of my ones. You know, I can't do it.
It's disgusting. It's so gross. Like, first of all, take them off when you enter. But if you want to wear them in the house, fine. But just not on the bed, bro. And like, especially because they're those like white dad sandals or shoes. Sneakers, yeah, they're
the New Balances or the Asics. Y'all know the ones. You know the ones.
Right. They're extra dirty. So you see like every little speck of dirt and dust.
It's like, it's not even a situation where they're less, they're not that dirty. It's fine. These are filthy. Like, I don't know if this man went hiking before to the airport instead of taking a cab, but I know his uncle dropped him off. But where were you before that? Was there a mud pit outside the airport that you chilled in? I don't know.
Maybe he did it on purpose. He feels very passive aggressive. So he like stomped in there. And then he's like, see, this place. Yeah, this place isn't even worth $3,000. There's dirt all over your bed. It's like, Gino, you put that there.
So then she's like, oh, let me give you a massage. Let me take these shoes off. So she takes the shoes off and then she's like, look at me. He's closed his eyes. You know, it's like he's riding a roller coaster. He doesn't want to open his eyes. It's so uncomfortable. Yeah. He's so closed off. The body language is like he's going down a water slide and he's got his hands across, you know, like he doesn't want anything to do with this moment. And then Jasmine's like, you know what? He's not responding. Let me kick it to high gear. And then says, I'm not wearing a bra. Do you want to feel? Which I was like, all right, going right into it, which also I feel like this must be a thing that Gino likes that she's saying. She's like, let me bring out the big mountains. Right. And you want to feel? And he has no interest. He says, no, I'm good. And he tells us that her spending habits and her being pushy in this moment is not helping him want to get intimate, which we've talked about. And I feel like it's fair. It's fair. I feel like, you know, things like that, it's hard to push them aside and just, you know, take the moment. I think for some people it's harder than others, but for him, I'm like, yeah, fair enough.
I mean, yeah, like her desire for them to be sexually intimate, totally valid. Him not wanting to have sex with her because of these other reasons, also totally valid. So if you're trying to break down the reasons why they're not able to be intimate, that is what it is, something that they should do, because clearly it's a priority for her. Clearly there's something that's bothering him. But what we don't do is talk about it in any way. So he doesn't even, or he's never explained to her, at least that I've seen, he's talked about, as you mentioned, with the producers, but he's never talked to her about like, hey, this makes me feel this way, blah, 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 whatever. Like, let him actually share his feelings about why he doesn't feel comfortable being intimate with her. Nuh-uh. He just does his little, like, I'm gonna curl up in a ball and take a nap.
Yeah, see, you said to you've not seen it. I don't think anyone has. It's very clear based on some of the other stuff he does in this episode that Gino is a passive-aggressive man who doesn't say how he feels and chooses to go the worst possible directions to get there potentially.
Right. I mean, and even like with the whole prenup thing, when that was sort of like initially discussed, he never really explains the reasoning as to why. And so then that can be taken in the wrong way. Like, he's just a bad communicator when it comes to expressing his thoughts and feelings.
He's only a good communicator when expressing one thought and feeling, and we're not there yet.
it wasn't even about it. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Yes.
So if you don't know where this is going, they do not have sex. That doesn't happen. He rolls over to his stomach, like Liana said, and Jasmine has not tapped out yet. Jasmine's like, I will get a straight answer out of this man. And she's like, do you want me? Poppy, do you want me? Do you want me? And he's like, stop asking me that. And then he's like, he just rolls over like he's going to take a nap instead. So,
oh my God.
While he's in the room, she leaves. And then she, I guess, thinks about the interaction and comes back and says, you know, I just want to apologize. And I thought, oh, where are we? This is the sixth dimension. Jasmine's apologizing for Gino not wanting to sleep with her. I feel like usually this wouldn't be an apology. This would be a fight.
Well, honestly, I'm happy that she did apologize, because I think what she was doing did cross a line. Like, I think she was pressure. Like, clearly he doesn't want to have sex with you, very obviously. And like, I do understand where she's coming from in terms of like, okay, well, maybe this will get him in the mood, but like, it's clearly not working. And so I appreciated that she, you know, said, look, I'm sorry if I made you feel uncomfortable. Let's start fresh. Let's start anew. I thought that that was definitely the right attitude and the right approach to have from her. I mean, him again, still being a baby, but at least she was able to sort of like, you know, try to make amends. I think which is what was really amusing during this conversation, which was difficult to take it seriously, was like her dog was just like rubbing its little teeny tiny body all up against Gino, like while she's trying to apologize.
It's like the dog is like, Gino, cuddle me now. Hang out with me.
Both Jasmine and the dog are both like very intense when it comes to pressuring Gino for affection.
Yeah. So she apologizes, you know, doesn't let the moment tap into like an insecurity or anything. He accepts it, which what else can he do in that point? And then she's like, you know, we don't have to do everything in the first night. And then that's what she tells us. So then instead, she's like, let's make dinner. OK, mm-hmm. And this segment is why they are the first couple we're talking about today. Let's make dinner. So they're going to make she has these plant based meatballs to feed Gino. And she's like, OK, so your task is you're going to peel this potato. And then we're going to need it. He's like, okay, so he opens the drawer and he's like, I'm not seeing a peeler. And she's like, well, we have this big knife. You can use this knife. He's like, okay, but I've never done this. Like, okay. And then he's like, where's the cutting board? She's like, oh, we'll use this as a cutting board. And pulls out a plate. And I don't know what it is about Gino in this moment, but he does tell us right before this that he doesn't like her being pushy and he wants to put his foot down. And this is the start of it. So he gets this plate, Liana, as the cutting board and this knife. And you can tell on his face that he does not want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is immediately, you can tell he's not happy about the situation. And I just want to like put things in perspective. And Puya, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe Gino was the one who had an entire freezer full of like Hungry Man meals. That was
the Swansons,
right?
Yeah, the Salisbury steaks and stuff. Yeah, because he had a whole blue bin with the remnants of the packages.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. Of the boxes of all of the pre-made meals, like the frozen dinners. Okay, so I just want to mention that because like over under, how many times has Gino cooked in the last year? And I'm going to set it at 1.5. Because like I genuinely don't believe this man has touched a knife or a cutting board or a peeler any time in the last 6 months.
I think the home cooked meals he has that don't come from a box are the weekly spaghetti pasta dinners at his uncle's place. That's
Did he participate in the cooking?
No, that's what I'm saying is that he does eat home cooked meals, but they're not prepared by him.
Yeah, there's right. No shot. Exactly. All right. So like, let's just like set the scene with that. OK, that Gino does not seem like a man who is.
I don't recall seeing a single B-roll of him cooking in the kitchen ever.
Like, exactly. He doesn't feel like one with the kitchen per se. OK, so yeah. So like, that's what we're going in with. And then look, Jasmine is, being a little like, are you done with the potato yet? Are you done with the potato yet? And you see Gino like a 5-year-old. Learning how to cut for the very first time with a knife, and he's like slowly like chopping off the sides of the potato.
Yeah, so this is where, like we said, he starts trying to put his foot down, and I'm like, this is the battle you chose? This is what you're putting your foot down on? All the other things, no, but okay. So she's like, she says do it on the plate, right? And he starts. This is the first of many times where he says, I don't know how we're gonna do this without the proper equipment. And as he's cutting, she's like, can you hurry? He's like, I don't hurry when I'm cooking, especially without the proper equipment. He kept saying proper equipment, and what is he talking about? A peeler. Proper equipment. You're telling me you're like, oh, we don't have a peeler. Guess this potato's not getting cooked today. Are you? Come on.
Yeah, my notes for this section are a little sparse, so I apologize on the details. This is what I have written down. Quote, we can't cook without the proper equipment. Then this is me saying, this is so awkward in all caps. Back to Gino. You don't have a cutting board. You don't have the proper equipment. I'm not cooking without the proper equipment.
What are you, Walter White? What are you like? You don't have the right equipment to cook, Jesse. Like, what are you doing, Gino? You are not him. You are not notes, that guy.
My notes continue. I'm not going to cook without the proper equipment. And then Jasmine crying. Because it was just so awkward. It was like him throwing a hissy fit about not having the the proper equipment. He just kept saying the phrase, I can't cook without the proper equipment, over and over and over again. It was so, so funny.
100%. Liana has watched, he's on YouTube Shorts, and he has seen the Sigma Male Music Breaking Bad clips of Walter White telling Jesse that's not the proper equipment. Because where else is he getting this from?
I don't know. Gino freezes things really weirdly. Like last week when he was like, yes, my cousin booked the common room in the complex apartment complex. Like he had a very specific way that he worded it. I would not be surprised if Gino just like whipped this one out of like, yes, I'm not going to cook without the proper equipment. But I would also not be surprised this was Breaking Bad inspired. I mean, he did upgrade his hats, and we do know that Walter White did have that, you know.
Do you think Walter White inspired the fedora?
Yeah, maybe. He was like, I am the one who cooks. But not without the proper equipment.
Obviously. Not, of course, of course. We can't. We shan't do this. Yeah. So... He does end up peeling this potato. Granted, it took a lot of time, and I think he cut a lot of it off. But whatever. It's fine. It'll do. It'll do. It's a meal for two. It's fine. And then she's like, all right, next on the docket, you're going to peel this carrot. And he's like, nope.
He's not. Hell no.
He's like, I am not going to do anything else with this knife. That is not happening. And she's like, okay, then I'll do it. Look. And she starts peeling it very quickly without any issue. And she's like, and now the beet. She passes him a beet. He's like, what about it? They like, peel it. With what? He's like, Gino, you are going to die in this kitchen. And this is not the hill you should die on.
Yeah, maybe you don't want to start a fight with her surrounded by knives.
Yeah, she got the proper equipment right there, man. Like, relax. Again, I don't understand why this is where he decided to put his foot down, unless I look at it from one specific angle. And that angle is self-sabotage. If I fight with her now, she won't expect sex later. And then there won't be sex. There won't be any intimacy. I don't have to explain myself later, you know?
I think that's possible. I think he also just like seemed irritated the entire time. And so when you're already just irritated, any little thing can set you off. And it, obviously this very quickly escalates as well, because Jasmine is not exactly the one to de-escalate things, but be like, oh, Gino, I hear that you're saying, like, tell me how you feel, you know, right? That's like never going to happen. It's going to be like, cut it with the freaking knife. Like, we may do with what we had, which also I agree, Gino, like, oh, just it's a knife, like you're fine. But it just felt like such an escalation until, as I said, it ends with Jasmine crying.
Yeah, no, she's full on sobbing because he storms out. He storms out and she's still like, baby, where are you going? And I thought, oh, she really thought that he was going to stick around. No, he left. He left the room, and then he comes back later and he is like, why are you crying like that? I was like, because you ruined the moment, man. This is a couple trying to cook together. Remember, Liana, when we would get when we would get Airbnbs and we started doing cooking together? That was fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was cute. It was really fun. I saw this other idea is like, well, he just traveled. He spent the whole time traveling. Like maybe he didn't want to cook, you know, kind of thing, which, yeah, that could have been part of it. But I feel like there's so many other things at play as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, traveling is a lot. So when you are the traveler to the travelee, I think you should get the right to direct that first night at the very least. Mm-hmm. Because you went through the ringer to get here. So when you would travel to me, when we would travel to Montreal, I'm taking a 2-hour bus. You're driving for 6 hours. So if you want to go to bed immediately, that's cool. If you want to eat, that's cool. If you want to watch something, that's cool. If you want to do other stuff, that's cool. Whatever you want, that's what should happen. So I feel like he should have the right of way here, but also it's Gino. So he's not going to communicate that ever. So it's just going to be awkward.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. So go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, Okay, you talk now.
I'm about to move on from them. So any last words?
Well, I wrote this quote down from Jasmine. Now I know for you it is. Oh, yes, that's right. I actually genuinely think that. So this was after, I believe, he's like done. He's still having his hissy fit, but like she's like calmed down. And I think afterwards she was like, I didn't realize that not having the proper equipment was a big deal for you. Like for me, it's not a big deal, but for you, I recognize it is. And I'm like, oh, I'm recognizing things that Jasmine is doing that to me signal that she's genuinely trying to communicate with him. Not saying she's perfect, but there's these little indications of like, I'm acknowledging your situation. I understand that it's different. And I'm telling you that I understand that it's different. And I appreciated that from her. I mean, he's still having a little hissy fit and puts himself to bed, but like, I just want to acknowledge that I think there were two moments where I was impressed with Jasmine. Now, the bar was on the floor, but I was impressed with her in those two moments.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should give her credit there, where I feel like both the apology after the no sex and then here, to me, it felt like Jasmine's actively trying to communicate and trying to also squash any problems they have by both acknowledging her faults and apologizing when necessary. Now, the issue to me is that Gino, I don't think, is recognizing either of these things. And it doesn't feel like he is in the moment understanding what's happening and is just thinking about himself, which is going to feed into more issues later on down the line.
Yeah. I mean, both parties have to be participating for this to be effective. It doesn't help that one is a baby who changes into his bedtime hat. So.
Yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly. So, oh my God, the bedtime hat. So she puts him to bed like a little boy. And he's like, I think I'm going to change out of my hat. And she says, oh, so you're sleeping out? He's like, yeah. And I thought, it's been a minute since I've seen one of those, you know, the ones you see in the cartoons, the old time cartoons with the hat that's like soft, but then it's pointy and has a fluffy end that like just lays like to the side of you. Like a graduation cap. I thought that's what it was going to be. This is a full dad curved bill baseball hat.
Yeah. So, okay. There's so many things to unpack with this because one, she's like, do you want to go to bed? He's like, yeah, I want to go to bed. And she was like, do you want to change? Like, I can't remember exactly like what it was, but he was like, yeah, I need to change into my bedtime hat because he doesn't change the rest of his clothing. He changes from a fedora to, as you said, like a baseball cap, but he keeps on the clothes that he traveled in. Like he didn't change his shirt. He didn't put on pajamas. He didn't take a shower. All he did was change a fedora into a baseball cap, which, bro, why do you need a brim to sleep? Like, are you expecting the sun? The sun doesn't get in your eyes while you're sleeping?
Roll over off the bed. It cools you down.
Yeah. So maybe he's like just trying to prevent sleeping on his tummy. So he's like, if I wear my bedtime hat, it'll prevent me from rolling over.
No, seriously.
I was laughing. Coming from I can't cook without the proper equipment, him changing to his bedtime hat and it being a baseball cap, I was laughing so hard. It was easily like, I don't know what the headline would be between those two. I know that proper equipment got more airtime, but I almost feel like Gino's bedtime hat deserves to be the headline just because it was so funny.
Yeah, no, I do feel like, you know, more and more since my tweet the day I watched the premiere episode of We Don't Need Returning Couples, this season we did, and this season we needed Gino and Jasmine. Because my God, are they a mess.
I'm sure it's going to get worse. This may be the pinnacle for them, but this was really funny to me.
I agree.
This whole episode for them.
Yeah, the next time on for them, he's going to ask about the prenup full on. And she says, and I'm quoting, if there is a effing prenup, I won't marry you. And he storms out of the room. So drama and fights, not unfamiliar territory to them. We are immediately diving into it next episode.
Which really, if they break up, that's probably the best thing for them and for us probably as well.
If it makes sure that they are not on this show anymore, I'm in. And if it makes sure, honestly, either of them on Single Life, I'm not mad at. Either of them on Single Life will be good fodder and good comedy. So I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Liana, let's take a quick look over at Tyrae and his story with the non-existent, to our knowledge, Carmella. So Tyrae had one quick scene and then we moved on from it. Didn't see him in the episode again. He's meeting up with his sister Lashanti, and they sit down at this bench outside, and she suggests, hey, let's reverse image search Carmela and see if anything pops up. Because that's that could be a good indicator of this is a fake person. Because up until this point, Tyrae still thinks, I don't know. I feel like maybe he hasn't blocked or anything. He's like, I don't know. Maybe the producers had it wrong, whatever. So she does a reverse search and she finds nothing. No fake nothing with this, with these pictures, which I think was the worst case scenario here.
Worst case scenario for everyone.
For a you know, no offense to him, but a bit of a delusional Tyrae here who wants to not believe that the last 4 years have been a sham, which I feel for him. And I definitely see why he wouldn't want that. But this gives him that glimmer of hope that, oh, if nothing came up, that's a good thing.
Right. And I mean, yeah, he says as much, right? That like, oh, well, because you didn't find anything, that means that they, you know, it's not like the images were taken from somewhere. They were probably of her. It still gives him that hope. Although, didn't we see at the end of the first episode when they did the season preview, there was something about finding her pictures on an escort service? Am I making that up, or
that sounds
real?
Familiar? The only thing I'm holding back on is I do not recall if that was them or another couple. I think it was her though. So I think the pictures do come up again at some point in some capacity.
Yeah. I think it was her. And so I thought that was actually going to happen here. So, I mean, but like, we already have the evidence that Carmela is a catfish. We have a message. We have the email that we get in this episode. Like, everything is pointing to it being a catfish. I really do not understand what Tyrae is doing on this television screen.
I mean, here's the thing, right? This has been going on for 4 years. And if he's missed all the other signs, which we are surprised with, because he has watched Catfish, the no video call, the only on Snapchat, the asking for money, you didn't give me money, we don't talk for like months. He doesn't want to see that the 4 years were a lie, right? And he'll do anything to believe that. So much so that in that same preview for the season, we see him going to a bar to meet up with said person. We don't know if that's in Barbados or not. Like, we're not sure. So, and he's also visited Barbados and Carmela never showed up, right? So he's obviously, you know, not willing to let this dream die. And because if you do, you have to admit that the last 4 years were a waste of time and money.
Right. I think it's another one of those situations where it's like, yeah, he's seen it happen to other people, but like, it could never happen to me, you know? Ugh.
Yeah.
But it's so, I don't think we've ever seen this on 90 Day before. We've had the catfishes happen in the past.
We've had the, we don't know if they're a catfish, but we know they're a catfish.
Right. There's always been this air of like, oh, but like, maybe they are real, or are they catfish? Those kinds of questions. But here, the producers have a message, like an email from what is Carmela's actual name? Christian or something like that?
Christian. Yes. The right. Catfish.
Yeah. Saying, I'm a catfish. I care about him, but I can't be with him, and admitting that they did it for the money. Like in the actual show.
Well, that's the thing. So what happened was he said that he wasn't ready to hear the call, but they had a text that could give them more information. And the producers show him this text, which essentially says that. The text says that I feel bad. I really needed the money. And like, we're poor here. So I did what I have to do to get the money. I do love him and I care for him, but I don't think I can be with him. And this still didn't cause Tyrae to want to block and move on. He tells his sister that he wants more answers and we'll give it a few more days. Again, I know we know where this goes, where he's going to eventually travel to go meet the person. So we'll see how that plays out.
I mean, he hears what he wants to hear. Like, he hears that, oh, they care about me. And okay, well, then maybe it's worth salvaging. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he's going to end up with Christian and this is all going to be happy in the long run. Who knows? But right now, it just seems like a total train wreck.
Yeah, that would be incredible. But I also do think train wreck is where we are headed here, unfortunately, with Tyrae, who, by the looks of it, gets a bye week next week. We're getting a new couple introduced next week. So I think that's where he takes the back seat for a week, which is fine. All right, let's take a quick break, Liana. When we get back, we're going to talk about a brand new couple that we saw this episode, and that is Misha and Nicola. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All righty, Liana. Do you want to do the honors and introduce the universe to Misha and Nicola?
Yes. Okay. So Misha, 43 years old from Minnesota. She was a TV personality,
maybe? Journalist. I think newscaster of some sort.
Yeah, some kind of like on the ground, like going out sort of newscaster. But she had over a decade, I think like a decade ago, right? She had a religious awakening and she is now extremely devout Catholic. And she is in fact the director of pastoral care now at her church. And she met Nicola, who is also very Catholic, online in, he like messaged her right online saying like, I will help you be more religious. And she was like, yes. And they started talking and they've been talking, it seems like, for a really long time. And they are now boyfriend, girlfriend, and she's going to go visit him, but not yet. Not in this episode.
Not in this episode. That hasn't happened yet. But yeah, you kind of nailed it. So after she had her spiritual awakening, she, you know, then gives us a bit of backstory of who she was beforehand. And she has been married previously. She fell in love with a foreign exchange student when she was younger, went to Sweden, got married at 22, has 2 kids. We do meet later in the episode. She was a bit of a party animal. She goes through her wardrobe like, oh, I wore this here, I wore this there. And Nicola and her started talking on the internet about religion and her life changed. Everything changed. And then we move over to Nicola to meet Nicola. So Nicola is 46, only 3 years older. And he lives in Israel with his mom. And he is a devout Catholic. His parents didn't put him onto it. It was his grandma who introduced him to everything. And he runs his own website that he said gets, 500,000 hits per month.
Yeah, and like 500,000.
Yeah. And they met 7 years ago. They met 7 years ago. And one of the things that Misha does say is that Nicola's support is what got her to leave her work and, you know, devote her working life to her religion as well. And it was very cute to hear Nicola say that he feels like he got insomnia from talking to Misha because they talk all the time. So it's very sweet. But key points here. Nicola is 46, is a virgin, has not kissed anybody since he was 16. So he's not been really intimate or engaged with anyone before.
And I believe that that was his last and only girlfriend as well before being with Misha, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he practices celibacy and will continue to be celibate until marriage.
Right. Yes. So first of all, let's go back to her religious awakening, because this was very interesting. She said she was vacuuming and then she saw two suns outside of her window. I believe she means like the sun. Big balls of gas in the sky. Yeah, not like because she has two daughters, but not two sons. So it's not the two sons.
I had to revert to the subtitles to confirm that she meant sons and not sons.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Yeah, S-U, not S-O.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And like she just felt this force, like pulling her to her knees, told her to pray. And then she read the whole Bible all the way to the last paragraph of Revelations. So this seems like a very like intense and drastic sort of lifestyle change. And I think that's what we get when she's talking about like, oh, I was, this party girl kind of thing, you know, party vibe, whatever, going to all the events, and then has a very sort of drastic change in her life. And I don't know if this was before or after she got divorced. I assume it was after, because she was living back in the States, because she said she moved to Sweden. So, but she seemed like she was back in the States when this happened. I'm not 100%
sure. Yeah, I think so. I believe so.
Yes. So anyway, so it seems like she made a very drastic life change. But I mean, she's been devout for a long time now, because as you said, like if they started talking 7 years ago, then she probably had her religious conversion, you know, a year or two before that. So she's like very Catholic.
Well, yeah, she, like, based on the conversation and the story, what we can learn from it is I believe that she was still very novice at the beginning, and Nicola's who helped her get to where she is now.
Yes, I believe he said that she said, "You will be my Jesus boy," which is also a very good quote. And if we didn't have the "I can't cook without the proper equipment," you will
have been
Jesus
the quote
boy.
Of the episode.
Yeah, it might have been the quote of the episode for me. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah. So we're getting all this set up here. My immediate thought is this is going to be a roller coaster of a mess with these two. I don't think they're fully compatible. And it's because while they do share a religion and they do share a very strong feeling towards the religion and each other as a result, I feel like there are some big, big obstacles upcoming that you can't get until they meet in person. One of the big obstacles is this conversation she does have with her two daughters. Not her two daughters, with her friend, where there's conversation about the intimacy and how you don't know how it's going to be. You don't have the intimacy there. And, you know, he's never been with anybody and that's going to be a big issue. And she mentions, well, we're not going to, you know, have sex before marriage, but I'm curious to see how he shows affection, because I need a lot of affection.
Okay. So here's the thing.
Oh, like, okay, what is so, that precursor? All right, no.
So yes, I understand that seems to be one of the things that's standing in the way. Also, the whole thing with the daughters. But okay, I weirdly have a lot of hope for them. Not that like I care about them, but I genuinely think that they could work out. And let me tell you why. Because when religion is that important to you, you can overlook other elements of compatibility because religion is so important. And that was why I emphasized like how devout she is, like how also how devout he is, like how that really is their top priority. So when you talk about compatibility with people, if that is your absolutely tip-top number one priority and you find somebody who matches that, you can let some of those
Some things will get overlooked and be fine.
Right. Which you and I may think are important because they are more of a priority for like me, for example. But for them, this is what they care about. So my ex-husband's sister, she very religious. Her husband, very religious. They got engaged 3 months after knowing each other. They only kissed once when they got engaged, celibate until they were married. They have like 18,000 kids and are happily married. So that's because for them, religion and like having a family and raising kids, that was like their number one absolute utmost priority. And those other little things when it came to compatibility, for them, they were little. They didn't matter. And that's why I feel like as long as we can get past the whole, like some of these smaller things, as long as they don't end up becoming a deal breaker, I genuinely feel like they could be super compatible, assuming that they're both genuine in their faith, which I do believe they are.
Yeah, I do think they're both genuine in their faith. And I do love that you bring that up because I do think that some of that stuff will get overlooked or not ignored necessarily, but they can overcome it, right? I think that'll be fine. Now let's quickly go over to Nicola, because the big one that I think could be an issue is what he brings up when he's hanging out with his friend Wissam, as they are fishing. He tells us that he is the only person that he is told about his personal life, and not really anyone else knows, you know. Oh, sorry, Wassim. And he's the only one that really knows about his relationship with Misha. His family doesn't know, no one else knows. And he tells us that he's worried that his mom will not accept Misha and the relationship because Misha is divorced and was married before. I think that's going to be the bigger obstacle here than the lack of intimacy or the unfamiliarity with the intimacy.
And I think we also don't get a game plan from Nicola about like, well, if my mom doesn't approve, whatever, screw mom. She can't even hear me when I tell her I'm out of here. You know, like we don't necessarily get that from her.
No.
Or this is my sort of compatibility plan. It's just sort of like, I'm going to ignore this problem until it explodes, which we
right.
see is a common sort of a path that a lot of people take on 90 Day Fiancé. So I just what I don't understand is like when that eventually does come to a head, like what is going to be. Like, how is he going to handle that situation? And also, what is their long-term game plan? Like, it sounds like when Misha was talking to her daughters that he was going to come live in the United States. Like, is that something? Because we didn't hear him talk about that at all. So there could be some of these details that could stand in the way of them being together. And I definitely don't think they're out of the woods yet.
Yeah, I don't think so either. He also, you know, later they do a quick voice call between the sort of video call between the two of them. And she lets him know about her process for annulment, which I'm very unfamiliar with. I know that annulment and divorce is two separate things. But my biggest understanding of it comes from the show Friends, which means I don't have any understanding of it, I don't think. Can you shed some light on the differences and why this might have been a more vital thing that they're trying to do?
Well, so like, when you get married, like in a religious context, even though legally in the eyes of the state, she is divorced from a religious standpoint, she needs a divorce, like a religious divorce. So she needs to have the marriage annulled.
Annulment is a religious divorce. A divorce is like a governmental legal divorce.
Yeah. I mean, you can annul. I think I'm pretty sure you can annul a marriage like legally.
Yeah.
But it's also so the difference between an annulment and a divorce, and annulment is where like, oh, we never consummated the marriage, so we can get it annulled, meaning that like the marriage never happened. Whereas in a divorce, the marriage happened and now it's over.
I see. Yeah.
Right? Because in a lot of religions, in some religions, divorce is not an option.
Yes.
Meaning that you cannot get divorced, meaning that you were married and now you are not married. So she needs to get it annulled so that technically it's like it never happened.
Right. Which on Friends, again, watching Friends as a youngin, Ross, the huge spoilers for Friends, if you didn't want to hear that, but you're about to. So Ross and Rachel drunkenly get married, and she wants him to get a divorce, and he's very hesitant because then he'd be the guy who divorced three times before he's 30. So he instead gets it annulled, and he's like, it's an annulment. It's not a divorce. And the show made it feel like an annulment is like a lesser version of a divorce, and it's not the same, but this is good. And this is a good explanation. I'm very happy to have you here to explain that to me, because I would have not known the difference. So she says that they're waiting to find out if it's if she can get the annulment, because mm-hmm. and then you know, Nicola says that's good because it will be a sin if it's not annulled. So we can't do that.
Right. Yes. So that's another big thing, obviously, that's in their way. And I don't know. I mean, the way they're talking, it seems like it's probably going to be annulled, but you know, who knows?
That's where it's headed. I feel like this is probably the red herring speed bump, and the real mm-hmm. speed bump is the mom, is what I think is going to happen here. So when she then later the next day, we see her, we get introduced to her daughters, Mariah and Svea. Mariah's 19, Svea is 17, and she's, you know, going through her clothes with the kids. This is in the maybe pile. This is in the I'll take it pile. And I definitely relate to this, but also I thought, is this just for the trip? I'm assuming. They do raise some concerns about Nicola, because they've only talked to him like twice. And both those times, it's been very much from a religious standpoint and not so much from a getting to know him standpoint. And it's very clear that the both of them do not want to be living with a man, first of all, who they don't know. Second of all, who would then be very judgmental of their actions and behaviors. They bring up, well, what if we bring boyfriends over? Is that going to be an issue? Is he going to say stuff there? Because he's not really our dad, so he can't really say anything. And I thought, ooh, the drama that'll brew when and if Nicola makes it to stateside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was funny because they were like, yeah, we don't really know him. All we know is that he's religious. And I was like, yeah, you know him. that's all you need to know. Like, did he tell you about his website? Fishing, I guess. They didn't learn
about
fishing.
He does like himself some fishing time, yeah.
Right. And I appreciate Misha being like, yeah, he's going to have to accept my daughters for who they are right now. And I did really like that. I think that, you know, she is still keeping her daughters, it seems like, a priority. And that, you know, even though she went through this religious conversion, she recognizes that her daughters did not go through this conversion with her and is not going to hold them to the same standards. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they all live together. And this is why it was like, oh, so is Nicola going to like move there? Is that the long-term game plan? Or, you know, they have been talking for 7 years. So this isn't like, we've known each other for 4 months. Let's move and get engaged. So I don't know. I think she's going to take the proper precautions necessary to see what happens. She still seems like a wacko, but, you know.
Yeah, they've never met in person, though, right? In the 7 years. This will be the first time they're meeting face to face.
Right.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. And it's entirely possible that, you know, when they meet, it's not the same. She doesn't have the same vibes. She doesn't want to go through with it. I think the reason why she's going through with the annulment and all of that stuff now is because, okay, if it does work out, like, this is what I'm committing to, and I want to make sure that I can go through with it.
Yeah. And I think ultimately, I think she wants the annulment period for like any further relationships moving forward.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So then in the next time on, we actually do not see them either. So, you know, don't know what that means. I don't know, you know, because we talked about this with like David and Sheila. And I said, I think David and Sheila are going to have a good ending, not a lot of problems. So that's why they're there. Do not know why these two get a bye. But we'll find out. We'll find out eventually. It's fine. So, Liana, let's move over to Ryan. Go ahead.
Sorry. Before we move on, I want to give a quote from, what was the friend's name? Start with a W. Not Williams. That's all I can think of.
No, Wissam.
Wissam, yes. Okay. So there was a quote that was so funny from Wissam where he was like, Misha's an attractive girl out of his league. This guy has no money, no job. He's broke. He sits in his room all day praying to Mary. No one's going to believe he's with a woman like this.
With friends like that, who needs enemies, dude?
Roasted. Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah, okay, here's Nicola being like, this is my one confidant. This is who I tell everything. And that one person's like, yeah, this is ridiculous. How did he do this? No, seriously, how did he do it? Can he show me? Like, no, seriously, can I learn, please?
So funny. All right, we can move on now.
That was great. Yeah, all right, let's go over to Riley and Violet here. Riley's on his way to Vietnam. to see Violet. He doesn't really have a lot here. He's on his way to the airport with his friend, right? His friend Alexa, who's going to be both dog sitting for him and house sitting while he's gone, and is giving him a ride to the airport. He brings up some of his issues with Violet to the friend, and the friend thinks that, you know, this is a problem. I'm like, I didn't take notes on this part because, like, no, it's not. You don't know her side of the story.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Alexa. Oh, sorry.
Alexa.
Yeah. Right. This is with the PI. Like, when she brings up the, like, you need to, she was like, if you need to have a PI follow her, there's an issue. Like, that conversation, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've said that already.
Yeah. Like, right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You're speaking the rest of us.
Yeah.
Like the rest of us. Yeah.
And then, okay, so then we move over. So first of all, he flies one flight. He gets to LA for his layover. And we get this random shot of him meeting a man named Tony, who's also on the same flight as him, who's going to Thailand to meet his lady friend, Pasha. And I was like, why is he here?
I was genuinely thought for a second that, like, oh my God, they're going to split the camera crew in half and they're going to send half the camera crew to go follow, like, this guy.
He's like, hold
let's
on.
Add him to the season.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was so weird. I was like, he's also going to meet his lady friend. Like, okay, I'm so uncomfortable.
I didn't like this. But I also thought, this is how they're going to cast in the future. They're just going to be following another couple at the airport and then meet another couple and be like, all right, we got five people here. We don't need five. Greg and David, you go over to Thailand. The rest of us, we'll go to Vietnam. We'll swap socials. We'll swap messages later. It'll be fine. We'll add a little, some bonus content.
I mean, honestly, go to LAX, go to the gate with the flights to whatever, Singapore, like, you know, wherever.
Flights to any countries outside of the U.S. and Canada.
No, any Southeast Asian country, look for the sad men who are there at the gate and just strike up a conversation. You might cast the next, like, 16 couples on 90
Well,
Day.
We should be on Tony watch then. Let's keep Tony in our notes for the future and see if Tony pops up again.
Yes. Oh my God. Tony for Pillow Talk.
No, let's not do that. Not everyone needs to be on Pillow Talk, please.
All right. Yeah, them and Debbie.
Oh God, Debbie. I'm happy. Okay, so actually, real quick, at the beginning of this episode, I did say that 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way is coming back, right? Brand new cast, with the exception of two returning couples. One of them, the lovely Kenny and Armando. We're excited to see them. Let's see how they've been. Let's see what's going on in their lives. The other, Danielle and Johan again.
Yeah. Okay. That's horrible. I'd rather see Tony.
Tony for The Other Way today, please. Now. Is it too late?
Too late.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we then, you know, forget about Riley because his story's now over. Let's go over to Violet. We get the new thing they've been doing, the 24 hours earlier. We go to Violet in Vietnam and we learn a little bit more about Violet, who is 43 and she is a primary school teacher. And she is a strong, independent woman. We see her. That's what she said. And then we also see her bargaining for food while she's buying her vegetables. And she's riding this little scooter. And I loved Violet. I'm rooting for Violet. I haven't seen anything from Violet so far that makes me think she deserves or needs to have a PI follow her.
Right. I mean, apart from all of the texts to the dad, which is a little unhinged, but I don't know if that's necessarily PI worthy. There was one thing, though, in this conversation. I don't think it was when she was talking with her friends. I think it was in the talking head where she was like, look, I know he doesn't trust me, but we just need to move on from the past. And it's like, OK, so maybe she did do something in the past, but, like, it's over with now and we can just sort of move forward with her and Riley.
Now the big question is the past the fact that she didn't tell him she was fully divorced yet?
It sounds like that is at least the biggest issue that we've heard about.
Right.
But based on, okay, I'm trying to remember. So when she texted Riley's dad, it was over multiple occasions, right? Because the dad was like, oh, it was when you guys were fighting meaning that I think it happened multiple times. So I'd be curious to know what the other reasons were for them to get into fights. And because even Violet, when she's talking to her friends and they're like, how many times have you fought? 180. And then she's saying it's about small stuff. But what does that mean, small stuff? Is it because she didn't reply to him and call him back? Or
I get
is
that
it because...
vibe, but it could be bigger.
Right. Like, again, I need to know what the what is small stuff?
How do you define small stuff? Tell us.
Right. Like, did you not tell him you had daughters, perhaps? Is that what you're saying is small stuff? Right. I don't know.
That's the thing, is we still don't know. We've been three episodes deep with Riley and Violet. The most thing we know about them is that Riley likes cigars, jazz music, and hiring PIs to follow his relationships. That's all we know about this couple. We don't know anything else yet.
Yeah, those are his hobbies, jazz and hiring PIs.
I like long walks on the beach and detailed investigative reports from a PI for my to-be girlfriend.
Love that for them.
Yeah.
The one other thing I wanted to ask you, and this is totally tangential, but what was Riley wearing on the plane? It looked like an Oculus VR headset.
It did look, I think that's what it was. The VR. Yeah. So on his longer flight, he put on the VR headset and then laid back. I'm assuming it is. I don't know if it's a better. I like seeing. So I'm a big fan of looking at a screen when I'm on a plane, right? It's good. It's distracting. But I also like seeing when the flight attendants are bringing the little drink cart or the little snack cart. So don't me, because I want to make sure I get my snack. I get snacky on a flight.
No, I know. And believe me, like, I'm right there with you. It's so exciting. You're like, oh my God, I'm going to get half a Coke.
I don't like the idea of being immersed in a VR headset and then getting like tapped on the shoulder and like pan. I mean, you cannot watch anything that's not a comedy on there, straight up.
Yeah. Like, what was he watching?
I don't want to speculate. Okay. All right. 'Cause my mind didn't go to comedies, nor action movies that involve like, okay, different action. Anyway, let's move on. The picture has been painted, but we can go over and talk about our final couple of the evening, and that is Amanda and Razvan. So Amanda has now spent her first night in Romania with Razvan. They wake up the next morning. She says everything feels amazing, but also strange. Now, before we dive into that, Liana, we get a little bit of a debate here that I would like to talk to you about. She sleeps with socks on, and she wears socks always, and he finds it a little weird.
Yeah, I thought you might mention this. So we've had this issue, I guess. I don't know.
I don't think it's an issue.
Okay, here's the thing. It comes from when I was a child. My mom was like, did you have your sleeping socks? Do you have your sleeping socks on? Because my feet... Okay, I'm a very lanky human, and my hands and my feet get cold. And when I'm sleeping at nighttime, I need a little bit of extra protection on my teeny little teeny tiny toesy woesies. They just need to stay warm while I'm sleeping. Okay. And that's why, yes, I sleep with socks on and pretty much wear socks all the time.
What if it's normal? What if Gino needs to protect his teeny tiny big head and has to wear a sleeping hat?
If Gino puts on other pajamas, then I would understand it a little bit better and had an old timey sleepy hat. Yeah. At least I don't kick my socks off while I'm sleeping, living a graveyard of socks at the bottom of our bed.
I don't kick them off while I'm asleep. I kick them off right before I sleep.
Oh, okay. And that makes it different when I'm cleaning under the bed and I am always vacuuming up a bunch of socks.
You're not vacuuming socks. I've been very good about collecting them the next morning.
I will say you have been doing a better job since we had our sock discussion.
Then let's not lie to the listeners.
No.
Well, this brings us to the question to the listeners portion of the podcast. This week's question, do you sleep with socks on? Yes or no? Let me know on Twitter at Puyaism, at Leon RHAP. We would like to know. We're curious.
I just don't like the texture. Like, you know, I like the texture of my socks.
I'm going to put out a Twitter poll for this one.
Okay.
And then we'll see. What do you think? Okay. Early prediction. What do you think this is going to look like?
I don't know. I guess more people are non-sock people. I'm a sock person and my family, we're sock people. So I feel like I'm used to that, but that's just because it could just be my family.
Well,
are
we'll
you doing
see
it now.
I posted it. It's up.
Oh,
it's
man,
live.
I'm excited. Okay.
Yeah, right. We'll see. So anyway, that conversation comes up. She's like, whatever, shut up. I'm like, okay, he shuts up. They talk about how last night they didn't have sex, but, you know, Razvan says Amanda was feeling a little bit like horny because we were cuddling and then she latched onto my neck and sucked. I was like, sir, that's called a hickey. Just say mm-hmm. hickey.
And you can see, maybe he doesn't know the word for it. Maybe. You can very clearly see it
mm-hmm.
on the side of his neck.
Yeah, no, it's very visible. I didn't notice it last week, but then after Mari brought it up, I went mm-hmm. back and indeed it's very visible. So yep. then he goes to shower. He comes back after 20 minutes and he's like, all right, are you ready? She's like, do I look like I'm ready? And I thought, okay, well, that's fine. That's cool. So they get ready to leave the house. Okay. They get ready to leave the house. And he tells us on the right before they leave that he feels like he wants her to feel good and comfortable and doesn't want to push anything. So again, reiterating that he would like for her to be comfortable and shows understanding that you know, she might not feel comfortable. And then she mm-hmm. also brings up a couple times this episode feeling guilty, that guilty feeling that we discussed a little bit last week only gets more confirmed here, that she is feeling some guilt after seeing him and being with him in person.
Mm-hmm. Which it's nice to have her express that, because I think that that's what a lot of us were reading into the situation, that mm-hmm. it once kind of the reality sank in, kind of, ooh, uh-oh, like, what have I done? And to see her be able to express that, I think is a good self-awareness of her feelings. And although obviously it makes for an uncomfortable trip to a certain extent, especially if they're unable to work through this, at least she's recognized that. Although I do feel, I don't know, I feel bad for Razvan because he has this expectation of this is going to be a really, you know, fun trip. And like, obviously I understand that this is the first time you've been, you know, she's been with someone since her husband passed. And I think he's really doing all that he can, or at least he's doing an okay job recognizing it, that,
yeah.
you know, he asks her, how does this make you feel? Like, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. You know, he's expressing all of those things, which I think is a really good thing. And I was very happy to see him do.
Same, honestly. I'm happy to see that he's showing at least either a level of understanding or awareness that that's something he should be doing, which is great. So mm-hmm. now they're about to go out to Old Town. He's going to show her some sights around the city. And right before they leave, she does a video call with her son. And this makes things a little bit shaky for her. She's a little bit shaken because while her son was talking to Razvan, he says, you know, my dada died, and then runs away. Did you have better notes on this? Because I was a little bit trying to like piece it together.
Well, we didn't see it happen. So we didn't see this recording happen. Yeah, exactly. So we're sort of getting the story of it told afterwards. And yeah, that's what it's like. Junior, seemingly out of nowhere, the kid says, my dada died. And obviously that makes Amanda feel like, oh, I shouldn't have come here. And sort mm-hmm. of brings up all of those feelings that she was talking about earlier about being nervous and scared and just feeling that sense of guilt, as you said, it brings it all up to the surface. And I feel like it was almost like a huge slap in the face to what was this underlying feeling that already existed.
Yeah. And I feel like this was kind of the beginning of her even thinking about cutting her trip short and having a little bit more reservation, you know, maybe the thoughts of, are we doing this too soon? Did this happen too quickly? Are we in the right place to be doing this? Because I think this was like this was kind of the soft beginning of those feelings becoming more and more prevalent. Now, when they go to this bar, the first they see some sights, everything looks very sweet. And then when they go to this bar to have drinks on this like lovely rooftop, and he says he wants to ask her something, and she prefaces with, I hope it's something silly to make me laugh. Mm-hmm. And all I could think was, you've been saying you want to take it slow. Please don't pull out a ring. Please do not propose right now. That would be so awkward. He does something a little less awkward. He offers her a key to his house.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was sweet.
I thought so too.
I think if she wasn't okay, so this has been sort of talked about ad nauseum with that it seems like she hasn't taken the appropriate time to grieve or not. And not, I don't mean time even in like the length of time, because yes, this was very quick. And it happened all of a sudden. And I do feel like it would maybe take longer to sort of process all of that. But it just, it almost felt like it happened. The dad died. Or, you know, her husband died. She's been dealing with having to take care of the kids and sort of recovering from all of this, because it was like 10 days from his diagnosis to his passing. And I really think that this was another slap in the face in addition to what Junior had said earlier, because then it's also like, oh my God, it's this sense of commitment. And even though it's really just a gesture and she's really only going to be there for 3 weeks, it just makes it so real. Mm-hmm. When she was in the United States and they were talking from afar, it's like, oh, this sweet guy, he's hot, sense of comfort, all of that. But now it feels so real. And I think that that key is even more so representation of this being just a shock to her of like, oh shit, what have I done?
Yeah, I feel like ultimately this gesture kind of, again, everything you said, it reiterates that this is real. It reiterates that this is a real guy with real feelings who is, you know, everything he was saying in those messages, he meant. And now maybe everything I said in the messages, I don't know if I fully meant. And I don't mean that in a shady way. I think, you know, she fully got on that plane thinking, I feel this way about this person. I feel strongly about this person. And then gets there and now is, you know, drowning with feelings of guilt. Feelings of I left my kids behind, a little bit maybe of that, you know, guilty about that, guilty about dating again. And this only reiterates that not only is this like a relationship, this is semi-serious because he's trusting me with a key to his house.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I want to take her at face value that she was genuine with everything that she's feeling. And I do think that she felt like, oh yeah, this could be, you know, like, oh my gosh, our new relationship, like it's exciting and he's sweet. And I do think she was genuinely excited about it. And as we talked about, now this is real. And this is followed up after the key to the house with the fact that he has an interview for a tourist visa to come to the United States, which then is like the third thing of like, oh my God, not only are you giving me a key to your house, but also my kids are going to meet you. And I think that is a third thing that really helped this just culminate in, oh my God, this is real, in like a bad way for her.
Yeah, no, it really makes things feel like a lot more serious because he was doing something sweet, right? He was doing something a little sweet to surprise her with a, oh, and by the way, I got a visa. So this party doesn't have to end. I will come visit you after this. And she was immediately like, no, I'm not ready, or that is not the right idea. And I think it's more so that I feel like she wants to be in control of this a little bit more, and you know, I think arguably rightfully so, because she's the one going through a huge process here. She's the one who has two kids who don't necessarily know how close these two are or what the nature of the relationship is, right? And for him to make that decision of, well, I'm coming so you can introduce me, I can hang out with them. And she's like, I don't know if we're there yet, which I think is a fair thing to say. But also, I can also understand the lovely gesture he believes he is putting forth. So because then she says no. And he says, well, how about after a month? You're like, no, it's too soon. And then that's when he says, I feel like you don't want me to be there. And that's when I thought, OK, this is where Razvan's not patience is running a little thin, but he is starting to feel a little bit, because I feel like he's been telling us, but more so himself, that I'm going to take things slow. I want her to be comfortable. But this, like these comments are making him feel like you don't really want to be together.
So again, this is where it's mismatched expectations, right? Because from his perspective, and for him to not sort of fully empathize with what she's going through, not that that's an expectation that he should. She went through something that is like absolutely traumatic, and she's probably not being 100% forthright with both herself and with him about how her husband's death has impacted her. So I think she's, you know, a little bit shadowing it or shying away from it for both herself recognizing it and dealing with it and also talking with him. So for him, the expectation is like, this is a sweet gesture. Like, I'm committed. I'm showing you that I'm committed to you. Like, I want to be a part of your life and the kid's life. Like, from his perspective, it feels like such a sweet, such a nice gesture. But then looking at it through her eyes, you can see how she is going to be taken aback by how fast this is moving. I think also for her, it's like, you know, we kept hearing her say, I want to make sure that, like, I bring a, you know, a guy into my kid's life that is, you know, going to be a good dad, a good replacement. So she's already sort of cautious about these things. And it's just all coming to a head through him doing what he perceives to be these good gestures, but are just throwing her back. So once you can kind of take a look at both of their perspectives, I can understand why they're both reacting this way. But I think that's because there's obviously this huge barrier or elephant in the room of her not fully processing her husband's death and him not being as aware as maybe he could be if she were to fully share.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's hard for Razvan because in order to fully understand, he needs to put his feelings and thoughts aside. And I feel like it's hard to do that when you're in a relationship because his side is also, you know, what he's going to follow primarily. So again, a little bit ups and downs here. She does make a comment. You don't understand what it's like to be a widow and have two kids and go through all this. So we'll see where they end up landing. Let me just take a quick peek on the next time on for them. We did forget to mention this, Riley and Violet next time on, they look happy initially. And then Riley says, what are we doing tomorrow? And she's like, I'm busy tomorrow. So you might have to do something. And he's mad. He's like, you think I flew all the way here not to spend time with you? No. Like, all right, that's a problem.
These
two get a next time on where he's talking to his producer for the music video. And the producer's like, is she the jealous type? And he's like, you know, we'll see. There's going to be a big test for her. And they're speaking Romanian. So she doesn't understand what they're saying, but she knows it's about her. So that's going to be a problem as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. First with the Riley whole and, music video. Okay. Amanda and Razvan. Yeah. Like, this is what, because even though I was okay overall happy with the way that Razvan handled this situation, I'm just like, oh yeah, there's all these other things that they're going to have to deal with that are just going to be so much more additive to the stress of that relationship. What a dumpster fire. And then for Riley and Violet, does she have to work? Is that what's happening? And did she tell him that she was going to have to work while he was there? Just communication, people.
Yeah, communication is key. Please and thank you forever and always, but they don't listen. All right. Liana, before we head out, one last little task at hand for us, and that is the power ranking. So we just wrapped up episode 3. We have a whole new couple to put in here. Here is what we had last week to give you a refresher and give everyone else a refresher. We had David and Sheila number 1. We had Amanda and Razvan number 2. Gino and Jasmine number 3. And Riley and Violet in last place. So we're doing the same couples again, but we're also adding Misha and Nicola. Tyrae will not be on the rankings.
Okay, yeah.
All right. So let's first talk about the couples that were in this episode and then see if we just keep David and Sheila where they are or whatever. So who do you have number 1?
I feel good about Misha and Nicola.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know. Those two weirdos could make it work. Good for them.
Yeah. Let me quickly process this information here and look at the previous rankings. I do feel like I think Riley and Violet have issues upcoming. Gino and Jasmine have issues upcoming. Amanda and Razvan have issues upcoming. David and Sheila are incredible. And I do not see any issues coming up for them. So Misha and Nicola, honestly, for right now, for what we've seen, do look like a good match. The only thing that could be, the two things that could be a key speed bump are the annulment and his mother. Those are the only two issues we see right now. So I'm fine with putting them in the first place position. Would they be ahead or below David and Sheila for you?
I think I prefer David and Sheila. Like, oh my God, I'm rooting for them so hard. I don't think I've rooted for a couple apart from maybe Kenny and Armando, like as equally more to David, yeah, and Sheila. Oh my God, I really want them to work out so badly. So I think because of hope, I'm going to put David and Sheila first.
Okay.
And then I would put Misha and Nicola second.
Okay, then let's do that. And then in third place, between Amanda and Razvan, Gino and Jasmine, Riley and Violet. Where do we
go? I would put Riley and Violet.
Third?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I just don't understand how Gino and Jasmine are going to get past the prenup.
The same way they got past the nudes. Delusionally.
Okay, so you would put Gino and Jasmine in third.
No, I would put Amanda and Razvan in third.
What?
Yeah, I think despite the fact that I think I can clearly, confidently say I feel like this is too soon for them, I do think there is a love there and I do think there is a care there. I think if they don't work out, it's going to be as a result of it's too soon for me and not so much issues that we have.
Oh my God. Okay, so then Amanda and Razvan in third, Riley Amanda. And Violet. Amanda and Razvan in third, Riley and Violet in fourth.
So?
And then Gino and Jasmine in fifth.
Yeah. I think this episode was very clear that despite being the only returning couple this season, these two clearly still have base communication issues. And by that, I mean Gino doesn't share his feelings and then fights about little things to make up for it.
They might be second to last in the power rankings, but they're first in my "you don't have the proper equipment."
Wait, second to last? Parts. Who's last?
Oh, well, I mean, I guess Tyrae, you're not ranking, right?
No.
Because that's not real. So, yeah, okay.
So then Bear last. Yeah, okay. So to give everyone the rankings for this week, Dave and Sheila first, Misha and Nicola second, Amanda and Razvan third, Riley and Violet fourth, Gino and Jasmine fifth. This could obviously all change on its head. Next week, when we meet a brand new couple, Liana, do you have the little blurb for them?
This is Christian and Cleo.
Yes.
Christian's the life of the party, and he's wearing that wig at the party.
Yes.
And Cleo is different than other women that he's dated.
Yeah. So we're going to, and she lives in the UK, right? In England.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're going to get introduced to them next week, leaving one other couple that we haven't met yet. They will be coming in probably the episode after, potentially.
Mm, yes. Statler, yeah. And
MC. I don't know. Yeah. There we go. So they are not going to be next episode. So next up on the next time on, we do see Christian and Cleo. We see David and Sheila, Amanda and Razvan, Riley and Violet, and Gino and Jasmine. Meaning Tyrae is going to be taking a bye week, and Misha and Nicola, who immediately came in and were given the bye week. So We'll see where we go with that. But Liana, for now, we're at the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for coming through and podcasting with me here on you on a Monday, no less. I do know it's hard for you to put time aside for stuff like this, so I do appreciate it when I get it. So thank you.
You're welcome. And next time, bring the proper equipment.
Okay. Well, before I can, you know, bring the proper equipment, let's deal with the stuff that came furnished. Let me know. Let us know. Where can people find you and what else do you have going on?
Oh, well, do you want to talk about the poll that you put up? Because I did go quickly check the results.
Yeah, I was going to bring it up after your plugs. But initially it started with the first 20 votes. It was 55-45 for no. It is now at 150 and it's 82% no, 18% yes.
Yeah. Whatever, so, you guys, being able to sleep without socks. I have to have socks. I have to sleep with socks. I can't sleep without socks. I'm
and
sorry.
Gino has to wear a hat.
And Gino has to wear a hat. Gino and I, not so different. Both never nudes, apparently.
Okay.
All right.
No, listen, the thing is 18% are with you. That doesn't mean that you're strange.
Yeah, that's right. Let's go 18%. We got this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. Right now we're podcasting about RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 8, which has been really dramatic, very wild, but very fun. And yeah, that's it. Just Drag Race right now.
Lovely, lovely, Liana. Thank you again for coming on. Y'all can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. That's where I will be when I'm not talking 90 Day Fiancé during this podcast season, because all the other shows I talk about are on their off season. So you can find me there if you want to see more me. And then last but not least, of course, if you could leave a rating and review for this podcast, it would mean a lot to me. It allows people to find the podcast. It gives me good feedback on what you would like to see. You can do so over on robinswebsite.com/90dayfiancé. That's robinswebsite.com/90dayfiancé. I did get a Twitter mention yesterday asking if we could potentially put out a doc where people can rank their couples and then we can compare it with the guests. I don't know if a doc is going to work because, you know, people might lose it, might forget it. If you would like to give me your rankings, feel free to at me on Twitter and I can stat collect them and then talk about them on the pod. So obviously at Puyaism, just at me, whenever you watch the episode, just throw up your top five, right? And then that'll give me a good insight on where everyone is. Are we on the same page? Are we not on the same page? And then additionally this week, if you've not participated in the poll because you got to it late because it was only for a day, at both of us and let us know whether you sleep with socks on or off. But for now, we've arrived at our destination here on the Hot Mess Express. We hope you had good fun with us. We'll be back next week to talk about episode 4 of Before the 90 Day. But until then, take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.